Welcome to the Work Research Revolution. And I'm delighted to be here today with Daniela Milic, who is HR Policies Officer at the United Nations and Vice Chair of Armio, which is an organization that fosters learning and innovation in HR management for international organizations. She's also a poet and a writer. Welcome, Daniela.
Thank you very much, Cara. It's good to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. And I'm going to get straight into it, actually, and ask you the first question. So what are the biggest challenges you think organizations are facing today?
Oh, there are indeed several significant ones that I see. First, if I think of sort of macro level, we continue to live in this brittle, anxious, non-linear, and incomprehensible world, or the bunny world. I remember when I first heard this term, I thought, "Oh, this is something that is temporary and that is here, and we'll get over it." But I think we're very much still in this environment. I also think that the digital transformation is accelerating across industries, as we see, and it's forcing the organizations, including my own in intergovernmental world, in the United Nations world, it's forcing us to adapt quickly to survive and to thrive in this rapidly changing landscape. And that means embracing new technologies, reimagining the way we work, our business models, and also it's also forcing us to find innovative ways to engage with our stakeholders. But we do talk a lot about digital transformation, which is indeed accelerating. We see it every day, but I think there is also a cultural shift happening, and I think we must foster this other side of technology, which is our adaptability, our resilience, our innovation, if we are going to thrive in this world. And to me, this means prioritizing, you know, psychological safety, encouraging collaboration in a different way, you know, and empowering employees to if I can say this without sounding too disruptive myself, but empowering employees to challenge the status quo and to embrace the change and all the good that it brings. So, you know, coming from the HR perspective, you know, perhaps I can zoom in on some of the things that I've seen in my workforce and in my environment. And
yes,
the challenge
would be great.
Thank you. Sort of the challenge of transforming the workforce to adopt to these technologies. Of course, the Gen AI, you know, it presents an opportunity, but also presents a hurdle for the organizations to grapple with. For example, the rapid pace of technology. How do we then grapple with effectively integrating these innovations and with the current people that we have in the future workforce we're about to bring on board? So I think, first of all, with the, you know, AI and the data driven decision making, you know, we need to digitize. We need to ensure that we have insightful data. A lot of organizations in our system are grappling to even find data on our current workforce in terms of where people are, what are recruitment patterns, what are our gender balance, what are, and a kind of, not just on a macro level, but on a level per location, we're spread out worldwide. So that's becoming very, very difficult in a decentralized way. So that makes workforce planning and resource allocations quite a little bit different. And the other thing that I see, and it's also exciting, but it's challenging, is this need to integrate the multiple generations in the workforce, because we do have five generations working side by side. And that brings its own sets of challenges. So I don't know, you've probably seen that as well. This, everybody brings the unique skills. And what do you know? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that absolutely, it's incredible to think that we have, you know, five generations in the workplace, and how is that all working? So this actually leads me to my next question, which is, what do you think are the solutions to these challenges? Because we have a complex scenario in our world right now, and especially the way we work. So what are some of the solutions that you see?
Well, you know, to navigate this, I think the organizations, first of all, need to have a strategic vision for the future. I mean, this is nothing new, but it does require a kind of another look at sort of what is the strategic vision and to seize the opportunities presented by this shifting landscape. So what is the business like? what does the work look like? How are the employees like? You know, how is the environment or our planet like? So I just feel that all solutions no longer work, and the organizations are forced to revisit the playbook, you know? So those who adapt and are, for example, ready to apply AI in a smart way are more likely to succeed. So I think investing in capabilities and unlocking the power of their employees, I think this is key.
Yeah.
You know, like skill gap analysis, for example, we talk about it in HR world since I've gotten into it 25 years ago, but I think it's in a different way to implement sort of targeted training programs. So to adapt to the technologies. And this, I go back to that multi-generational workforce. You have sort of five generations with quite different aptitude and levels of technology embracement and knowledge. So if you want to have to make sure that they work together, they communicate together, we need to kind of make sure that there's a common language there. And that would mean fostering a culture of continuous learning. When I joined the workforce, I came from a university. I had my graduate degree, and I went in to kind of mimic and adapt to what I found there from my older colleagues. Now the newer generation is coming in, not just with knowledge, but also with experience, with different ideas, with boldness and courage that perhaps other generations maybe did not have. I don't try to generalize here, but I think there's just a way to integrate. So mentoring programs, inclusive policies, personalized. I think there's going to be more and more need for personalization rather than these broad brush training and development programs. That will be one. Investing in technology for remote collaboration, I think, is important. But I think one other thing that I see in my current workforce is not just when we talk about remote work, which is a big, you know, game shifter here, is we need to work on adapting the mindset surrounding the remote work, because I see a big generational divergence on this. How generations see it, you know, as what does younger generation expect? How does perhaps the older generation see it as in a more traditional sense of what is work? But Cara, one thing that I think, actually there are two things that I think I would highlight as sort of the solutions. And one, you and I talked about it before. One is like prioritizing the employee well-being. And not just through the traditional sort of wellness programs and yoga after work and all of that, but more work-life balance initiatives, more like harmony, as I prefer to call it.
Beautiful.
And, you know, because balance always reminds me of a seesaw. One is up, one is down. And harmony for me is an orchestra that plays seemingly together. So I kind of like to even change the notion of like, you know, I'm at home, I'm at work, zigzag. More of like a harmonious one self, one person, no matter in which environment we are. So fostering this culture of support, psychological safety, I think, you know, increasing number of employees are reporting high level of symptoms consistent with poor mental health. I mean, we see it in the UN surveys, we see it in other research. So we know that the work environment can play a direct role in this. And many things are within our control of the organization. Some are not, like pandemics, like things that are outside or beyond, but some of them can be and must be dealt with at the organizational level to build resilience, to build health and well-being of our employees. But by health also, I think this notion of holistic health, that we're not just talking about insurance for medical and other things, but more talking about a holistic approach to health. So, and also looking at it, not just at individual, like we're focused often at individual. What does that individual need to have? How that individual needs to have counseling support, yoga and so on, but also look at it at the team level, the organization, you know, all of that. So, and that gets me to the other point, which is leadership. I think the role of leadership is there is no health and well-being in an organization without leadership and also without employees. But I think leadership, you know, we must recognize that these traditional patterns, again, this is very much relevant in my line of work, is that promoting individuals based on their technical skills is just no longer sufficient. I don't think it ever was, but I think now it's clear that the organizations need leaders who possess not only their technical expertise, but they also have strong interpersonal skills, emotional intelligence. They're committed to diversity and inclusion. So I think
empathy.
So fostering this healthy workplace, healthy workforce, and sense of belonging, I think this is the key. I see this is the key that will help us to navigate challenges, be they technological, be they business, be they, you know, all the other inflation, all the macro level thing we have. If the organization is strong in this area, then the shock absorption would be better. I believe. So the thriving and a resilient workforce is not sort of do more with less, and I'm going to put you in a environment and lead you to a burnout because you're motivated, and then I'm going to pull you out of the rotation and fix you and bring you back for round two. You know, these cycles of utilizing employees in that way is just not working, and the burnout is extreme. So I feel if we equip our leadership and we put some structures in place, we have a better chance, at least. I don't know. Jury's out on that one, but this is what I believe.
Amazing. Well, that kind of leads me to the final question. And, you know, there's some have said that it's time for a revolution. So in that case, what does a work reset revolution look like to you?
Well, that's an excellent question. I think I spoke about work and reset and it's kind of seesaw. But I think if I zoom in on that revolution part of it, I think this is where I think the sweet spot is. And because revolutions start with people, there is no revolution without people.
Absolutely.
So I think it's the exciting time in history, probably the most exciting. And I think we need to move forward with intention, you know, and the more I hear and the more I speak about AI and technology, the more I amplify human and humanity and our shared essence. And what is the essence of being human? I think philosophers over centuries have been grappling with that. I think it's time to look at that again, because at the core, I see, you know, being human is, as you mentioned yourself, you know, it's empathy, compassion, creativity, resilience, all these concepts we're talking about, and meaningful connections. So being human, I think one of the greatest things of being human is continuous journey of self-discovery.
Yeah.
Of growth,
our inner development. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And would you also see would you also see a connection of our sort of inner wisdom there as well in terms in the future, sort of more connection with our heart and not our, you know, they often talk about the brain, heart, gut axis, don't they? So, yeah.
Absolutely. I see it in, again, this pursuit of purpose and meaning in our life, you know, embracing, I think it starts with embracing our imperfections and acknowledging our vulnerabilities and then finding strengths in that. So I think our capacity to love, to connect, to make positive difference in the world around us. So yes, I just use the word love in the business context, and I believe that we'll hear it more and more. And again, I'm using the love as in, you know, the love with a capital L. And I think organizations must be ready to think and act differently, and being comfortable with not having all the answers, all the solutions. Sitting in the uncomfortability is also, you know, now it's not the time to bury our hand in the sand. I think after the storm, we have this saying, after the storm, the sea throws out the most beautiful pearl. But if you allow some of the poetic expression here, Cara, but what I mean, I think, is that we should embrace the unknown and we should not fall back on the old solutions to the new problems. But
absolutely.
Also not discard the thing that have withstood the test of time. And I think the most underutilized thing that withstood the test of time, in my mind, is the power of empathy and power of kindness.
Mm. And with that, Daniela, I want to thank you so much, because this has just been a fantastic podcast. It's been wonderful to have you, you know, ending on looking at a future where we're empathetic, kindness, and love is more incorporated in the way that we work, amongst a lot of other things. So it's been wonderful to have you. I know everybody will really appreciate and enjoy listening to this. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Cara. It was a pleasure to be here. And just to maybe in a final thought to say that at the risk of sounding maybe too out there, I envision a time where a philosopher and a poet will be sitting in a boardroom when decisions are being made as trusted counsels. Because I think our planet needs a different kind of leadership, leading from the heart. And as a chief optimist officer, I really believe in the power of optimism. I know Helen Keller said, optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. So I feel this is where I feel we could look into embracing this faith as we navigate these challenges and opportunities ahead. And here, I really appreciate the work you do with Software Success and in bringing some of these elements that go beyond the MBA programs, which, by the way, do not teach any of these things that we just discussed, right? Because we're teaching people the science of business, but not the art of business.
But that's what we're doing, bringing science and the heart together, right?
Absolutely.
In a way, to the future. So I love that. I do see that. I agree with you in seeing philosophers and maybe even astrologers in the boardroom. Absolutely. In the future. So thank you so much, Daniela. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Work Reset Revolution. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. As a next step, share this episode with anyone that you think may benefit. Follow us on LinkedIn at Softer Success for more inspiration to change the way we work, and contact us at info@softersuccess.com to find out more about our burnout assessment tool. If you have any feedback on how to improve, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Work Reset Revolution.